No.
Diabetes.
No. Okay, so this guy...
Onset deafness?
This guy, Jim Malloy, was hired as a medical actor in 2013.
A medical actor?
Yes. I'll get into it. But his role was to pretend that he had symptoms for abdominal aortic aneurysms, which is a type of aneurysm that occurs in the main blood vessel that brings blood to your abdomen, your pelvis, and I think your legs too. But the aneurysm is known as a silent killer because it doesn't always show any symptoms before it bursts and becomes fatal. So he goes into this medical acting gig at the University of Virginia. So a medical acting gig is where it's a school, and they know you're an actor. So, like, you're a student, and I'm an actor, and I go in, and I'm like, I have a light headache and a soreness in my side, and then they have to, like, diagnose you based off of the symptoms that you're giving them.
I get it.
And so he goes in there and he gives them all the, like, fake patient symptoms that are supposed to give the diagnosis. And when he goes in, the student named Ryan, he feels his abdomen in order to diagnose him or do, like, the proper thing that you're supposed to do. But when he presses on the abdomen, he, like, actually feels a large pulsing mass. And it turns out that the mass was the exact type of aneurysm that he was acting, that he had gone there to be pretending.
Oh,
so he actually had an abdominal aneurysm. And I read this on, like, some, you know, like, shitty website, so I had to Google it, but it's real. This actually happened. So, yeah. So they, like, feel it, and then they try to get him to break character. They're like, dude, like,
do you have a tennis ball in there? Like, sir, what did you eat?
And then when they find out that it's, like, real, they're trying to tell him, and he's like, and, like, it's, like, this funny, like, back and forth of, like, everybody thinking everybody's acting, and they're like, no, like, break character. Like, this is real. Like, are you joking or are you joking? Like, get out of this.
Oh,
character.
Shoot. Do you watch the show The Other Two?
No.
Oh my god, it is on HBO. You need to watch it, but there's this whole thing. So one of the characters is a struggling actor in New York. So he's, like, gonna audition to be on a Grey's Anatomy show or, like, a TV doctor. So he goes to a hospital to shadow someone, but then everyone he talks to is also an actor shadowing a doctor. So, like, they'll tell them really bad news, and then it's, like, monologue, like, I'm sorry, it's really bad news. We couldn't save your husband from the car crash. Like, we had to transfer in his brain, and, like, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what? And they're like, oh, you believed me? Like, do you think I'm going to get this part? And it happens, like, 10 different times. And it is so funny.
That's awesome.
You would really, really like that show. Well, and my quick pitch on Other Two, and this will make the episode. But the show's about, so there are two grown adults, or, like, two people in their 30s living in New York, and their little brother becomes a YouTube, like, TikTok sensation. So it gets, like, super duper famous overnight. And then there's, like, the other two, and, like, are along for the ride, so, like, their lives change. And it is so, so funny. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, they find out that it's actually the aneurysm that he has. So it took some convincing and all them breaking their acting for them to legitimately get it checked out. And it was real, and they brought him surgery, like, instantly, and he had an aneurysm that was 6 centimeters large and could have ruptured at any moment. Which, my question is, if the doctor pushed on it, I mean, obviously he didn't die or anything, but what happens if he just, like, pushed out and he was like,
What are the odds of that?
I know, that's really crazy. But I should say that wasn't his only acting gig. So he had, like, done this multiple times for different ailments. It just so happened that he got to sign the one that he actually had to.
Banana pants.
Yeah. This next one is The Miracle Boy. I actually don't know why I chose this because I didn't think that I would have a lot at first, but. So this kid named Trenton McKinley, he was 13 years old and was in a dune buggy accident.
Ew.
And so what
was he wearing, like, 6 polo shirts? This sounds like a douche.
Opposite. Okay, so what happened was Trenton was being pulled in a small utility trailer by a dune buggy, like, in a backyard kind of thing. And the driver, who was also a teen, slammed on the brakes and the trailer flipped and Trenton went into the concrete. And
oh, my.
Basically, like,
Trenton, I'm sorry for what I said. Okay, you also sound more like a hillbilly than a preppy, so that's on me.
Exactly. So knowing that this is how this happened, what state do you think they're in?
Florida or Alabama?
It is
final
Alabama.
Answer.
It is Alabama. I was really hoping you would get it.
It's like, I can, like, see so many YouTube videos of, like, people, like, jumping from, like, super high ladders onto trampolines into a pool. And, like, the American, like, it's all just American America's Funniest Home Videos after I got the Trenton East Coast Trenton out of my head.
And his last name is McKinley, and they kept calling him McKinley, and I was like, oh, is that his first name? Because that's definitely an Alabama name. Like, this is my son, McKinley. So Trenton was taken to the hospital where he died and was brought back to life multiple times, the longest of which was 15 minutes, and the doctor said that if they could end up stabilizing him, he would be back as a vegetable and would be non-responsive. And so his mom signed the papers to donate his organs to 5 different kids, and right before the last brain scan test thing where they wanted to make sure he was brain dead, he moved his fingers and then his feet, and then he came back to life and had brain function out of nowhere, like, even though they, like, totally thought that he wasn't going to. So, after many surgeries on his brain, his skull, and his kidney, he survived and is recovering. And he believes that he was in heaven when he died and claims that he was in a big open field walking. And he was told by, like, all the doctors that, like, yeah, it's a miracle. So, yeah. That's good. But also,
these are, like, unexplainable occurrences, but, like, sometimes it makes me a little mad to give God all the credit when there's, like, medical doctors literally saving this child's life.
Yeah,
and, like,
where was God when he flipped over in a
Yeah, there's no, like, like, I get it, but...
Like, you couldn't have intervened a little bit sooner?
I don't know, man. That's crazy, though. Or it's Alabama doctors named Trenton, and then so he wasn't ever brain dead.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
Who did the x-rays? Like, what's the caliber of the x-ray techs down there? Like,
yeah, Kyle Schulte level. The other thing I was wondering is, like, those poor 5 kids that were supposed to get the organs.
What happened to them?
I don't know. I didn't follow up, but that's, like, fucking savage to be like, a miracle happened. You're not getting an organ.
Oh, man.
So that was the other one. So they get a little bit longer as we go down. You probably heard of this, congenital insensitivity to pain.
Is that the one where Abigail Breslin was on Grey's Anatomy and she keeps, like, hitting herself and, like, lighting herself on fire because she doesn't feel pain?
I didn't know that was an episode, but yeah, that's basically exactly what it is.
We can move on.
So congenital insensitivity to pain is exactly what it sounds like. It's a rare condition that it's even more rare to be found in adults, and it's basically because infants with the condition often die as a result of not being able to notice or protect themselves from any pain. But there is a couple adults, or actually more than a couple, but there's adults that do make it all the way to adulthood, and one of the ones that I researched is a man named Stefan Betz. And so
Betts. How about it's a great name. Betts.
So Stefan's parents originally thought that he was mentally handicapped because he would just bump into things with reckless abandon and get a bunch of bruises and not give a fuck. But it wasn't until he was 5 years old that he bit the tip of his tongue off and didn't even care and didn't notice. I mean, besides probably the blood, I'm assuming, but, like, yeah, so that's, I just think that's terrifying that you could just bite your own tongue off.
Yeah. I mean, how do I know that I haven't suddenly developed, like, a high tolerance to pain?
You fucking know. I don't even know.
Do we know?
Like, what? Yeah, I can look into it more, but...
Kyle, grab the kitchen knife. Let's see.
There's different, like, versions of it, too, because there's some people that can't feel, like, temperature.
Yeah.
So, like, they can just straight up sit on a heating duct and have, like, no idea that they're, like, getting their ass burned.
Happens.
But in the same year, he also fractured a bone in his foot while jumping down the stairs, and again, he didn't notice. Apparently, this is, like, a common thing. In the article I read, there is a lot of stories of males with the same condition that end up killing themselves because, you know, they think they're, like, super powered or, like, they kind of, like, push the limits or whatever.
Well, I feel like you don't even need this condition. How many videos, and I've seen it live at parties, like, oh, I'm gonna jump off this roof onto the ping pong table, like, what up? And then, like, crash down and then just get back up. So, like, yeah I get it.
So there was there's a story of a Pakistani boy who did street tricks to show off his pain intolerance. So he would legit stab his armpits and walk on hot coals in the street for, like, money and, like, to show tricks.
Good for him.
But he eventually died because he jumped off of a roof and didn't survive because he was still getting injured. He just couldn't feel it.
Oof.
So...
That is bad.
An interesting result of all of this is that it started a pain race in the biotech industry. Basically, obviously, opioids are, like, a really big deal, and that's, like, our only way of dealing with pain right now. So they studied a bunch of the people that
have wondering about that. Like, is there stem cell research they can do that, like, literally, like, takes their neurons and...
Yeah, so they found a family where there was, like, three brothers that had it. And so they started testing these people, obviously, with their knowledge and with their agreement, hopefully. But they were just trying to find something that could trump all opiates, because if you could have something that you wouldn't feel any pain and it wouldn't be non-addictive, then that would be a huge seller for
them. Which, according to the first 30 minutes of the show Dope Sick I watched, and then I got bored and turned it off, that's how they sold OxyContin to begin with. They're saying it was completely non-addictive.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, this, in theory, would be actually non-addictive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously they have bigger plans, but I'm just like...
Is this what CBD is?
But, like, wouldn't it also be bad, because you don't just want a bunch of people out in the world not feeling anything.
Yeah. Like, is it a super soldier serum? Like, how far is this gonna go? Yeah.
So basically they found out that it was a sodium channel in your brain that's blocked, and it's closely related to some other sodium channels that regulate other nervous system functions, like your heart and your brain. So they haven't, like, figured it out yet, because if you fuck it up, like, you could stop, like, somebody's heart.
Or, like, you like, let go of all the pain that they've been experiencing their entire life or something, like, all that sodium, like, they punch it, and then, like, it all gets released. I assume it all lives, like, little balloons in your head, and you just pop it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or, like...
I'm no scientist.
Yeah, but with the heart thing, I think it's, like, your heart pumps involuntarily, and if you accidentally, like, put something that makes it just stop pumping without... meaning to.
Well, is there any correlation to, like, Alzheimer's or dementia, where, like, your brain just stops firing off neurons where it communicates to the rest of your body, so, like, it just, like, blocked?
They didn't say anything, but I feel like that could be a thing.
I'll write a PhD paper on it. We'll see how it goes.
Find one of these people.
We'll see what Buddy finds.
I did have another one about a girl that I didn't put in here, but she has, like, that infant syndrome, basically, where, like, she was stuck as an infant until she was, like, 20 years old, and that she died. It's kind of freaky where people went with this, because, I mean, she was, like, fucked up. Like, she was 16 years old and couldn't talk and could barely walk. And
this girl could talk. She was mean.
She died at 17 pounds at 20 years old. So, like, she...
Oh, what,
like,
the...
I know that there are forms of it where they're, like, just really tiny and they are, like, functioning, but she, like, her everything wasn't developing. Like, she was just permanently stuck in an infant stage.
That's crazy.
But, of course, they did a bunch of research, and they found that, like, this is more common in girls. And they created a name for it, and it's, like, a protein problem. But anyways...
Sounds sexist.
People were like, oh, how do we fucking figure out how to, like, not age people based off of this?
I was wondering about that. This all sounds like the movie Old.
I've never seen that.
You don't need to. People go to a... Even she couldn't save that movie, but literally people go on vacation, they all go to a beach, and time moves faster, so they start aging, and that happens for 90 minutes, and then they realize it, like, 20 fucking times.
Sounds like a cool idea.
It is, but that's literally the only idea of the movie, but in the very end, so spoiler if you're going to watch the movie Old, but save yourself 50 years, haha, reference to the movie, but at the end, it's, like, revealed that it was a beach, like, that... It's a naturally occurring beach where, like, under the reef, like, time moves obviously faster, and so a bunch of scientists came in, and so it's a medical development, so they're able to, like, bring people there, and, like, they do, like, all-inclusive trips that they want, and then send them to the beach so they can test someone that has, like, a tumor growing, someone with, like, early-onset dementia, to see, like, do the drugs that they give them when they first get there, like, do they work in the long run, so they're able to test, like, hundreds of years of research in a couple of days with different people.
Oh.
So, great twist, but not a good movie. Yeah.
I'm sad that it's not a good movie. That sounds, like, really up my alley.
It is, but, no, my sister and I saw it in theaters. And finally they say it out, like, they finally, like, just, like, have this huge scene. They're like, time's moving faster. We're aging years by the hours. And I go, oh, time's moving faster, duh. And I like hit my sister and I was like, I said that way too loud. We're going to blame that on pandemic where I didn't watch movies around people. But like it got a laugh from everyone of like, okay, yes, this movie is dumb as hell.
Yeah. Do the people try and leave?
Yeah, but they can't.
Okay. All right. This next one is Kuru disease or the laughing death, which I really hope you don't know what it is once I start talking about it, but... okay, so laughing death, it's in the highlands of Papua New Guinea. There was a tribe of indigenous people called the Four, like, if you're Belgian, you know, Four. They never really made contact, we never made contact in the outside world with them until the 1950s, when some Australian researchers went to learn more about them. It was quickly learned that there was a strange disease afflicting the tribe of 11,000 people. They were losing members to a disease that they called Kuru. Basically, what happened is the afflicted person would start by, like, swaying or, like, kind of losing control of, like, motor function and having trouble walking. And then, at the same time as that symptom coming on, they would lose control of their emotions. That's why it's called laughing death, because they would just burst into fits of laughter.
I know you're a man, but this literally happens to me once a month.
It happens to me once a month, and I don't even have an excuse.
That was a period joke, Kyle, if you... menstruation.
So yeah, they burst into fits of laughter. Eventually, the disease would take you within a year, with the patients no longer being able to walk, move, or feed themselves. And it was weird, because the disease was greatly affecting women once a month. No, anyway. It was actually, though, really affecting women and children more than it was affecting men. And so it was thought to be genetic. The tribe was concerned and knew that they needed to figure it out, but because they were going to go extinct. There was 11,000 of them, and this was happening like pretty rapidly.
11,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so researchers assisted in finding out like what was happening. So they sent people in. They started mapping the family trees and testing for contaminants and like their waters, whatever the fuck. And they're trying to figure out what the disease could be, and one researcher named Lindenbaum, that's his last name, noticed that the disease was not affecting women of the same families, but rather women of the same social circles. So their periods were sinking.
Yeah. Whoa.
But it turns out that the disease was linked to a tradition within the tribe.
Oh, God.
Do you know where this is going?
I have a feeling, but I don't want to be racist and guess.
They're eating the dead.
That's what I thought. Fuck. Ugh.
Yeah, so it's coming from them eating their past tribe members, which is even worse because the people die of this disease and they eat them.
So it's just a never-ending cycle of cannibalism. That's gross.
So the tribe thought it was best to eat their loved ones rather than have, like, insects of the earth eat them. They thought it was, like, a respect thing. So women would remove the brains and mix them with ferns and fire roast them. And they would eat everything in the body except for the gallbladder, which I didn't get an explanation as to why that was the big no-no. But women were thought to be better hosts for spirits, so it was strictly women who were eating the dead. And sometimes they would give little snacks to their children. And so that's why it was affecting kids as well. In the end, researchers tested the theory by giving cooked human remains to the chimpanzee or to chimpanzees, and they
why bring them into it? What the shit?
Because they needed to figure
this
it out.
This is pretty conclusive evidence. Ew.
But yeah, they got like the same symptoms, and it turns out that it's not virus and it's not bacteria, but it's a protein that creates a strange reaction that basically like folds your cells or something like that.
Well, they're eating dead people. I'm sure our body, when it stops...
Well, okay, so it gives you Swiss cheese brain. So basically there's holes in your brain, which is what is why they can't walk, and it's why they have, like, emotional outbursts, because it's affecting, like, those parts of their brains. And then, of course, once the cannibalism stopped, the disease slowed down.
I can't believe it.
And they're...
Did they feel pretty dumb about it?
Well, I don't know. The disease was, like, dormant in some people, so, like, you could have the protein in you and then it not come up for decades. So the last actual death from it was in 2009. So, apparently this
That's
disease...
That's too soon.
Yeah. Well, they stopped in, like, the mid to late 50s, so, like, I think that somebody who was alive for, like, the very beginning of it, like, maybe a child could have still died.
Okay, as gross as this sounds, like, I get killing someone... No, I don't get it, but, like... Freshly dead, eat some fresh meat, cook it up, whatever. But, like, how dead were these bodies that they were eating? Like, were they letting, like, gestation and, like, what happens when you die and, like, rigor mortis set in and then they eat them?
Well, the problem... Not
funny. Were they putting these bodies on ice? Like, I just, I don't know why I'm worried about food safety protocols, but, like...
The reason this is happening to them...
And they eat everything.
This is why it was happening to them and it didn't happen to, like, a person like Jeffrey Dahmer or other cannibals is because... It's theorized that somebody in their tribe, when they, like, 30 years before that or whatever, when it started, had somehow gotten this protein in their system, somehow gotten the disease, and then they did it once, and then it spread, and then it just kept happening after that. So, like, before that, they were doing this, and there was no problem, but the one person who had the protein ended up fucking them all over.
Did they test it, though, to see, like, the long-term effects of eating dead bodies from other different, like, people?
Well,
now I'm curious, like, is this
other people?
Like in other cases where, like, cannibalism is a thing, does the Swiss cheese brain happen?
I wouldn't think so, because there's, like, Miracle in the Andes where that, like, rugby team crashed and they ate each other, and I don't think they got Swiss cheese brain.
Interesting. So it was, like, because that's what I thought, too, like, it was going to be, like, some sort of, like, protein of something they ate, but I didn't really think it'd be each other until we got into it.
Yeah,
I was going through.
Yeah. So,
yikes, that's,
So this disease, this protein, is extremely similar to mad cow disease, and it's called a prion disease.
I'm a little mad about it, yeah.
But it's like a prion disease, because remember, mad cow disease is you eat beef and then you go crazy or whatever, and that's...
I go crazy every time I eat beef, I love it so much.
Well, this is
McDonald's,
my
eat
PSA
fresh.
For not fucking, or for being vegan or vegetarian, like, you don't need some mad cow disease. But they're called prion diseases, and it's the same thing where a protein type issue affects humans when they eat infected beef. So it's not anything new, it just so happens that they were eating people that were infected. But there's a new scare, which I never really understood what this was until I read about it, but chronic wasting disease, have you heard of this? It's happening in, like, deer in North America. Yeah, so instead of it just being a brain thing where... the protein is affecting the brain. It affects the whole body, and so, like, your whole body is basically, like, eating itself or, like, folding over, and so they are dying from wasting away without, like, starving, if that makes sense.
Gross.
But it's a fear because there's people who eat deer. There's hunters that eat deer.
Venison is delicious.
Yeah, so, but we could get people getting chronic wasting disease if it happens. So far there's not that many cases from what I saw, but, like, it's obviously, like, something you want to keep under control.
Oh dear, yes we do.
Oh god. Oh, dear. If Kyle didn't laugh, that would have gone right over my head.
He looks like a deer in headlights when you didn't get it. Like, whoa. I'm not proud of that one, but I was proud of the original one.
Like, better than 10
points.
Yeah.
Go ahead, my dear friend.
But yeah, so I thought that I really liked that one. I wish it would have been like a whole episode, but there wasn't really much beyond it. But that's crazy.
I wanted to make a fawning joke, but I'm just really grossed out from the whole eating people situation. I'm really grossed out.
Necessarily a medical miracle, but I thought it was medically interesting. So don't eat your friends.
God damn it. Everything that's coming up is Armie Hammer a cannibal?
Jesus Christ. He is, right?
Yeah, he sent a lot of messages on Instagram of, like, hey, I want to eat you. And I remember reading those. Yeah. He has not been in anything, so he definitely got canceled.
Oh, we got canceled hard, for sure. No, but poor Timothy Chalamet had to, like, kiss him and call me by your name, and now the guy's a cannibal.
I don't know. That's...
modern cannibals.
Do you think it's just, like, illuminating the Illuminati a little bit?
Oh, for sure. Like, how do you even get into a ring of people that eat people? Like, that's that's not something that comes out
I stopped,
drunk.
Is there actual evidence on him being a cannibal? I stopped reading after a little while of, like, I don't need to listen to this. But if it's true, I'm interested.
I'm pretty sure it's confirmed, but maybe it's just, like, confirmed through...
That'd be a fun episode, is crazy internet rumors.
Yeah. Do you remember? Well,
do you remember how many times Bill Nye died on the internet, and then same, like, everyone thought John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite was dead?
Well, do you remember how everyone thought Mac Miller was dead before he actually died? Like, there was a thing that he got in, like, a jet ski accident.
No, I don't remember that at all.
It was when we were, like, in high school. That happens all the time. I went to Google Hillary Duff the other day. On Google, it was like, "Is Hillary Duff dead?" What?
I saw something on Twitter the other day that it was like, I was looking at like what's trending, and it said Betty White, and the first thing it said is like, don't worry, she's not dead, everyone's just talking about her. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need a few days when Betty White finally goes, like when I lose my final golden girl, it's gonna sting.
Yeah, well, I don't even know, are the other ones all dead?
Super dead. Yeah. Oh, okay. They all died, like I think B. Arthur lived the longest, and she died in like 2007. Rest in peace, my girls. I could show you. If you were on camera, I'd pull out all my memorabilia, but...
They didn't even know that they lived to become gay icons.
God, I love them. They were gay icons back then. If you watch any of them, those women were so woke, it's not even funny.
They were, like, yeah.
God, they had some good episodes. My favorite of all time is the episode where it turns out Rose has been addicted to opioids for the last 30 years because she hurt her foot in high school and the doctor has just been prescribing. And she has, like, the whole moment, like, to do an intervention. So dramatic. And we had that, like, my other favorite episode, which my sister and I were talking about it, and because I was telling her, of like, we were watching the episode, and I was, like, building it up of, like, how dramatic B. Arthur is, like, when the guy's like, ah, you're hurting me!
Oh,
and
yeah,
my sister's like, she's so dramatic. I was like, Amy, I watched that, and she wasn't that dramatic. And she goes, no, she's super dramatic, because that was, like, our thing for a while, was like, ah, you're hurting me!
I think you showed us this, yeah.
But it was on, like, the Hallmark, so I rewatched it, and on the Hulu version...
You did show us, yeah, in the living room.
But on the Hulu version of it, she's so much more dramatic, so whatever taping Hallmark is, isn't the real version, and I will bring out my Golden Girls DVD thing, which that was my college graduation present to myself, was the $116 Hulu, or, like, DVD set of Golden Girls. And then before I even got it, I saw a tweet from Hulu that said, please welcome the Golden Girls collection to Hulu. And it's still on Hulu. Yeah. And I don't even, I actually couldn't tell you where those DVDs are right now.
Yeah, at this point, you don't even need to worry about it, because if it's not on one thing, it'll be on another one.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry, back to
Amazon now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I need a new show, and that is the perfect trash television show for teenagers. That's what got me into the trash TV.
Although, if you watch the early episodes, they are, like, fucking 12. Like, they are really young.
I started at the very... Oh, my God. Not, like, Degrassi, where, like, I've only
not
seen...
Not, like, the original.
Yeah, I've never even heard anyone talk about Degrassi, the original. It's only about Degrassi, the Next Generation.
Yeah.
Those Canadian... Oh, God, I love them.
But, like, Emma is, like, super tiny and has, like, an eating disorder.
She looks so much like the girl from Pen 15. I always think it's her. And I was like, no, she's, like, 40 now.
Dude, I literally thought the same thing. Yeah, they look very similar. Okay, so Orville Majors is my next one. Have you ever heard of him?
It's a real Orville Redenbacher?
Yeah, Orville Majors.
Sounds fake, but I'm in.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Colonel Private? What's happening?
So his name is Orville Majors, and he grew up as an average Midwestern boy.
We all did.
Yeah. He didn't exhibit the early signs of a serial killer, like childhood trauma or abusive to animals or anything like that. He was actually just a normal kid, kind of the opposite of any of that. So he had a strong connection to his grandmother in his teenage years, and unfortunately, this is when she had died, but he spent a majority of his time after high school tending to her, and I think this inspired him to become a nurse. But in high school, he was known as a likable and friendly guy, which is...
That's what you want to be known as. Sounds like a lot of people didn't remember him, but...
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you talk about somebody and you don't have, like, anything to say about them, you're like, they're nice. he was known as a very likable and friendly guy. He eventually went to school for nursing and graduated. When he graduated, he got a job at Vermilion Community Hospital in Indiana.
Okay.
Indiana land.
How far outside of Chicago is that?
I have no idea. I'm assuming it's pretty rural because they said they only had 4 or 5 ICU beds, and I feel like that's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
Okay, yeah. So this must be, like, somebody's house. Okay, so he had a positive reputation at the hospital as well. He was really friendly with all the staff. He was considered to be really, really knowledgeable and had very, very good bedside manner. So... He was known to be very transparent and comforting with his patients all the time, and eventually he left Vermilion to pursue a nursing job in Tennessee, but he returned 2 years later and got his same job back at Vermilion Hospital. But when he came back, people who had known him prior said he was no longer the friendly man that he used to be. He was really irritable all the time, and he started to grow cold towards elderly patients specifically. He was quoted saying that elderly people should be gassed and that the families of them were trash. So it's like a pretty dramatic change.
Oh, wow.
So this This irritability is later linked to a possibility that he was addicted to meth.
Not eating people?
No. He was not eating people.
That, for now on, we're going to have to clarify if people are eating people or not.
That can't be the same twist every time. So they believe he was using meth at the time, and after interviewing his friends, they said he, like, consistently carried syringes with him in and outside of work. Which, do you use syringes for meth?
Why are you asking me that as though I would know? I don't know.
I guess you can, right? I don't know. I always just heard people smoking meth, but I think
you can do it however you want. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, in 1993, Orville was just getting back into the swing of things at his job that he had to come back to. And although everybody had noticed this change in his behavior, eventually they just accepted it as it was. And during his time there in 1993, the death rate at the hospital slowly rose, with a record high of 31 deaths that year, they only have 4 ICU beds. I feel like
that's a lot of deaths,
So in January of 1994, a patient named Luella Hopkins was at the hospital, and she was recovering from pneumonia-related health issues. She had already gone through the thick of it. She was, like, about to be discharged. Mm-hmm. And Nurse Majors, or Orville, our boy, went into her room and gave Luella a shot, which she agreed to because he was a nurse, and, like, why wouldn't she just know? Yeah. So immediately after the shot, Orville went to report an issue with Luella to, like, the nursing station, and nurses and doctors entered the room and tried to save Luella as she was having a deadly heart attack, and she was gasping for air and eventually died. So previous to her death, she had a pretty clean bill of health. Like I said, she was recovering from her pneumonia, so this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And she had no heart-related issues, so she was 89, though, and they just accepted it as an old age-related event. But eventually, events like this would happen more and more in the hospital. Staff were noticing, but they didn't have an idea of, like, why it was happening, and they definitely didn't think it was murder. So another event happened in April of 1994. This time, an older man named Cecil was admitted to ICU for pneumonia as well. He expressed to his son that he felt like he was burning from the inside out, and when they tested him, his blood pressure had skyrocketed. And looking back, it's guessed that he was given a stimulant that his body did not need, and especially not in the state that he was in. Mm-hmm. Again, he went into cardiac arrest, and he died. And again, it was just thought to be a strange event that wasn't investigated very much, because they're just like, old people be dying.
It's true.
Yeah, old people do
be dying. Prove how strong. Old people be dying.
Fuck, that was a thing. Okay, so later that April, Orville strikes again. This time he gave a shot to an elderly woman in front of her family. The family trusted him as a nurse, and they've seen him multiple times, like, in their other visits. And so he goes up to her, he puts something in her IV and administers it, and right after he does it, he kisses her forehead, and he tells her that it's going to be all right, and calls her pumpkin, and she dies within 60 seconds in front of her family. Which is
fun. This guy's got some balls on him. Yeah. Wow!
And, yeah, like, it was, in the stuff that I had listened to about it, they think that, like, he did it just to watch them grieve.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, they don't talk about this, so I don't have this in my notes, but I think it's super related to his grandma dying in high school.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely, like,
he's got grandma issues.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so weird how that stuff can be, like, just, like, textbook type back to.
Mm-hmm. Almost always, yeah. Like, someone messed with you, or, like, you were too, like, a little too close to somebody, and they died, and, like...
And now you're just killing old people.
Yeah. Oof.
So, the family didn't see it as his fault, but rather a rare and inconsistent event again. But by the end of the 1994, the death toll for the hospital was 101 people. And last year, it was
39%? I can even do that math. That's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, it's more than 39%. That's over 300%.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like 300. Yeah. Well, yeah. I wasn't going to say that's like 120%, but it's 300%.
70 more people. So it's at this time that they begin to dive into the fatality rate, which I don't know. I feel like there's monthly statistics. Like, why do you have to wait till the end of the year to be like, oh shit, 100 people died?
How do you not notice that a lot of people keep dying in the recovery area? We're like, you know, they're recovering.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it's mostly the ICU, but yeah, you're right.
They only have 4 beds, so everyone's dying on like a 4x4x4 day.
Like, they're like, oh, we gotta take you to the ICU. They're like, no!
No! They are not going to be seeing you in that ICU for much longer.
Yes.
Yes.
I got that one right away.
I'm going to be honest. I've been playing with ICU in my head for a little while to come up with that one. But thank you.
It was perfect execution.
Thank you.
So they start diving into the fatality rate, and the head nurse pulls time cards and discovers that Majors was on duty for 90% of the deaths over a 2-year period.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, very shocking.
This is more shocking than the people eating people.
So they created a case and reported this to the police. The police had to do an investigation before actually being able to charge him. And it wasn't clear if he had committed a crime yet, or at least there was no way to like actually prove it. So they weren't able to link it to him for sure yet, but police had been correct and Majors was involved. And although eventually he was only charged for 6 because that's the only people that they could prove, it's guessed that he killed over 100 people.
Wow.
It was honestly the perfect crime because for a while they couldn't catch him because there were laws like HIPAA in place the hospital like legally could not give up any of the patient's medical record until there was like a clear crime or the records were subpoenaed and nobody could subpoena the records because they didn't have enough proof. So it was like this like kind of standstill. But eventually somehow they began subpoenaing files. And then through the gossip of a little small town, Vermilion, or maybe it was Vermilion County. But anyways, it was revealed that Majors was the one being investigated, so it was like under wraps for a little while who it was. And so Orville gets nervous and decides to go on a daytime talk show and play the victim and be like, the hospital's just blaming me for the shortcomings, like, there's other people that work there, like, I'm not the only one that works there, like, this could be anything else.
Everybody kills people, it's fine.
Like, you're not 100% at your job all the time.
I heard you make 3 little lists on this whole one, like, little journalist. Like, what's wrong with you?
So this fucking interview thing during the day, it didn't work very well because people saw this interview and it just, like, made them mad, like, people who were related to these people who had died. And so people start calling in and sharing their stories and sharing their doubts about him and accuse him of killing their dead relatives. And eventually experts were called in and they decided that the deaths, if malicious, would have been caused by a shot of potassium chloride leading to severe cardiac arrest.
Isn't that what's in bananas?
Potassium has, I don't know, chloride, maybe, but I wouldn't think so. I don't think, okay. I had a banana this morning, I didn't have a heart attack, so.
Good for you.
So they dug up some of the victims and found that potassium chloride had, in fact, been present in their bodies. So at this point, they set out to link Majors to owning potassium chloride, and they got a search warrant for his home, and they found empty potassium chloride bottles in his apartment.
And a lot of peeled bananas.
Just mushed bananas everywhere. And epinephrine bottles.
The cops rushed in. They all slipped on banana peels, and they knew they had their culprit.
So he was put on trial where relatives of the victims and 29 doctors were brought as witnesses against him.
That's too many. It's 9 out of 10, right? Yeah. Like, they need to, like, every commercial I've seen, it's 9 out of 10 doctors is the opinion we need. That just screws the whole percentage.
So the jury took 3.5 days to decide, but eventually found him guilty, which I don't know how you need 3.5 fucking days to decide that this guy killed over 100 people. Like, I feel like it's pretty clear cut. I know that there was probably a little more that went into it, but like, this is obvious as fuck, right?
So like, I think we mentioned this one before we were recording, but that whole Dr. Death podcast and like that guy. So he was a doctor in Texas. And he killed, like, I think it's, like, 12 patients or, like, paralyzed them completely so they'd go in for, like, very, like, natural, like, normal, very, common procedures. Like, because he was, thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Routine procedures. And they would end up being, like, fully paralyzed and, it would just be, like, oh, no. And he would blame it on everybody else. And then eventually, like, a couple doctors realized, like, oh, my God, this guy's paralyzing and killing, like, 20% of his patients, so he ends up going to like trial, but they can't like prove anything because it's all under like the HIPAA and like doctor confidentiality and like basically like malpractice only goes so far, like you can't prove it. It's a very good podcast. The show is okay, but it's wild because you totally see like how it can happen of like everyone putting their faith in these people and saying like, oh, we're the number one hospital in the area, like we only hire the best, and so like if someone's not the best, then it's like,
Yeah,
we see where this happens.
Well, also, as this, like, small-town hospital, I could see how they could get away with it for over a year. Yeah. Because, like, it's not like they're, like, advertising, like, we have the highest death rate or anything. Like, they're not going to say anything.
Well, it kind of reminds me of what was flying around, like, around, it was kind of the beginning of the pandemic, but where, at, like, everyone who died, even if it wasn't from COVID, was still being marked as COVID because hospitals were getting so much more money because of COVID patients. So, like, if it got marked on that, like, it would go into their statistics, but it would also go into, like, how much money they'd be getting.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like that all just, like, at the end of the day, it all comes to, like, yeah, what is the total cost that we're making off these patients? So it doesn't really matter in the end, like, what really happens to them until someone opens, like, opens it up.
Yeah. Okay, by the way, this guy's, the investigation on this guy cost $1.6 million, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was over a million. And
that's like 4 x-rays and a pregnancy. That's crazy. How did they pay for this? Wow, yeah, I hope they had insurance.
That's like 3 potassium chloride shots.
So many banana peels.
So one thing I want to mention before this too is that you just reminded me of. Do you remember hearing about this dentist? And this might just be an internet story, but I think it's true. Of this dentist who would pull kids' teeth, and he would pull like fucking 10 extra for no fucking reason. And parents would like get their kids back and be like, "What the literal fuck?" Like. She was only supposed to get 1 tooth out, and now she's missing, like, all her fucking molars, like...
No, I have not heard of this. People are deranged.
Okay, so it took them 3.5 days. He was sentenced to 360 years in jail, which, like, that's the life sentence I'm looking for.
Yes, yeah. That is what life sentence means to me.
And ironically, I think he died in 2017, but he died of cardiac arrest in prison.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Wow. That... is not super surprising given our American healthcare system, but that's insane that he got away with it for that long.
Yeah, and it was the 90s, so like...
It's the 90s, baby. No DNA. Yeah. Some DNA?
Probably DNA. Alright, so a little more lighthearted medical news. We're going to be talking about things that people pull up their butt.
But first, nothing.
I have a pun, and I'm ready for it. You better not fucking beat me to it. What is this?
My lips are sealed.
Okay. So the first, it's 11 of the most bizarre foreign objects found at people's backsides, which I don't think some of these are that bizarre.
I'm just saying because I've never, like.
I mean, you're like amateurs.
Well, I'm like, there's nothing that wouldn't be bizarre going up your tuchus, because no. What goes up your tuchus, but everything, I don't even want to talk about it, this isn't my cup of tea,
knowing how people are, some of these just don't surprise me as much as they should. So the first one is a glass bottle, it's like a beer bottle.
Understand the use of glass for bottles.
Yeah. But, like, how it gets up your butt.
Well, that looks like a champagne flute. Or a wine glass. They're showing me a picture, everybody.
It's upside down. So they put the wide end first, which is the problem because then your butt sucks it up, and then you can't really pull on the neck part because you have this whole, like, pressure of, like, the wide part having to get out now. Your butt just goes...
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the gay agenda. This is what everyone warned you about.
Okay, this is what it says, and I don't believe this at all. It says the 17, or seven, he's 72. The 72.
Good for him.
The 17. The 72-year-old used a nearby dumping ground to defecate, but when his wooden limb snapped, he fell back heavily onto the glass bottle. What?
Hold up.
I don't know. I was sitting in a dump yard. And I just, my leg snapped.
My peg leg? I'm so sorry. But this 72-year-old man now has a peg leg that snapped, and that's how the thing got up his tuchus?
I guess so. He had dry rot on his leg.
Is there any backstory of how he got the peg leg?
There's a link, but I don't want to.
Because modern day medicine would not put wood as a leg. So this, rot, what, like, pirate is putting their...
72. He probably made it himself.
Do you think that the doctor's like, oh, your peg leg, let me see if it broke. He's like, oh shit, I have 2 feet. Oh no. Like, gets caught in the lie of like, oh, now I need to explain that I don't have a peg leg. And I just...
stuck
a bottle in my butt. No, I want to keep using the word tuchus, because I like the word tuchus.
Okay, so the next one is a live eel.
Electric?
Yes.
Well,
I don't know if it was electric, but it's an eel. Is there any other sort?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not electric eels.
I feel the electric feel.
This is amazing. So he's a 50-year-old man, and he got a radiograph, and it showed an eel. He had abdominal pain, and the eel was biting his colon. Which, if I was an eel up somebody's ass, I would probably...
I'm going to start using that as when I excuse myself from the table. Excuse me, an eel is biting my colon. I must use the restroom.
My eel's biting. Gotta go.
I got an eel on the colon.
So this man later admits that he inserted the 50-centimeter fish to help with his constipation.
Which, what's he going to do? Eat your poop?
I mean, it was biting.
I get it. You know, I see where he got to that. I see where he got there.
I don't know. I've never had constipation so bad. I was going to stick a fish up my butt.
I remember being really, really constipated as a kid and my mom just giving me pep talks of, like, trying to use the bathroom. And, like, calling it at school and then telling the school that I had constipation. And I'm like, make up a lie, please. Make up a lie. But she wouldn't. Like, she just, like,
Yeah, she's like, the girl can't shit.
Yeah.
Too much cheese.
You're not going to believe this. Guess what?
You show up to school the next day, the secretary is like, oh, so it passed.
Do you need to use the bathroom? Do you want to use the bathroom? Do you want me to come with you? I can help.
Which they always ask you that when you were a kid, when your stomach hurt, they'd be like, do you have to go to the bathroom? And you're like, no, bitch, I'm going to throw up. Like, little side story. No, we're going to talk about poop because my dumbass one time bought a, like, not a snacking size portion of almonds. And I didn't know this, but there's such a thing as almond poisoning.
Is that like grape poisoning where, like, you have too many grapes and you inevitably get diarrhea?
Basically, yeah. So it's the opposite, though, and it locks you up. And so I ate a very large container of almonds for lunch. And I got home, and I was living alone, and I got this searing pain in my stomach or my abdomen or what my, yeah. And I was, like, keeled over. I literally called my parents. Like, I think I have to go to the emergency room. Like, I'm in so much pain right now. I called my sister, and I was, like, texting her every 15 minutes. She's like, do I need to come pick you up, take you to the hospital? I'm like, I don't know. This is really bad. I'm literally laying on the floor of my bathroom, like, face down, ass up, because it's the only way it didn't hurt. And then eventually it just turned out I was extremely constipated and it all passed. But yeah, that's what happens when you get almond poisoning. It's a real thing. I googled it. Okay, so there's the next one. Oh wait, another gas story is when I was a little kid, I got extreme gas at Disney World, but I didn't know that's what it was. And again, I had this like really bad pain in my stomach, and my parents were like, you're fine, and we're waiting in line for Rock and Roll and Roller Coaster, or whatever it's called, and I was super, super nervous to get on this coaster, and I just fart so bad, like a really bad silent but deadly one, and the people behind us are literally plugging their noses. It was like, it was really, really, really bad and super embarrassing, but I was young. I was like probably like 6 or 7. But yeah, I just gassed the whole line. And nobody has anywhere to go, you know, because you're just in a fucking line. The next one is a love egg. Do you know what that is?
A baby? A miracle? A sweet child?
That's a beautiful way to describe it.
I really thought so, too.
It's like a vibrating egg that you put up your butt.
I'm more interested in going back to the people that eat people than going through this.
You put it up there and it got stuck, and it was in there for 3 days before he went to the hospital.
Oh, did God. He not have to go to the bathroom in that time?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
I mean, I go camping and I won't go to the bathroom number two for like 4 days. Oh, me, oh my, that looks like a giant bottle.
No, that's a different thing. There's no picture of this
one. Kyle, stop showing me things up people's butts, okay. Please.
Okay, anyways, he went to the hospital, and he burst into tears and said that it had been vibrating the entire time, driving him insane.
Yeah.
Which, 3 days of a vibrating egg in your ass, like, you would think that would shake some shit loose, literally.
I'd crack by then.
Oh, for sure, I'd crack within an hour.
That was an egg pun.
Damn it.
It was just a yolk. Don't worry about it.
I'm just happy that you didn't beat me to the other one yet. So. Okay, so the next one is an instant coffee jar with pins in the lid. So, like, somebody, it's, like, sewing thing that they put pins in the lid, wait, and it was, like,
what? But why? What lie did they come up with to make that feasible to go up their butt?
Okay, well, the pins on the inside, not poking out, they're in the jar, but, like, they're on the
Kyle, inside. I don't want to know of what all, you're into.
Of all jars, why the one with needles in it? Like,
okay, the next one is a vanity light bulb. Do you have any...
Divine vanity light bulb.
Like, for a mirror where you're getting ready.
Yeah. I mean, I have a vanity in there.
It's a very wide light bulb. It
looks hot.
It wasn't a bright idea. I didn't actually come up with that one. That one's in the article. But yeah, so the
did
light
he
bulb
get...
was said to have shattered as it was removed, which is
fucking ooh, that's some...
The next one is a 64-year-old man who put a dildo inside of him, and it was stuck inside of him for 6 months before it was removed. He reportedly endured a world trip with the vibrator, making it the most traveled foreign body in a rectum.
Sorry, I'm just processing the 6 months that he had lived with that.
Yeah.
I feel like what about his fecal matter?
I feel like after a couple of months, you just kind of forget about it.
Yeah!
You're like, shit, I should probably go to the doctor. Okay, the next one is a Buzz Lightyear toy, and this is where I just wanted to say he definitely went to infinity and beyond.
Do you think I gave him a Woody?
Okay, but in real talk, though, those things have buttons where the wings come out. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the wings go like... and shoot out the sides like horizontal.
Yes.
Like, that's not safe. There's gonna be a Buzz Lightyear movie, and I hope to God they skip
include that.
Toy Story 6. 6 months. Okay, this one I have actually heard of before, and it's really fucked up. This man stuck basically cock, not cock, but cock, like construction material up his ass, and it was...
It expanded?
It was liquid adhesive, and it expanded and hardened.
Oh, no.
So, when, I don't know if this is the same
That's
guy.
That's a sticky situation.
I don't know if this is the same guy, but I hope it is, because I really hope there weren't two people that stuck construction material up their asses, but I heard on a different podcast that somebody had done this, and they had to take out 2 feet of his intestine. And they were saying, like, imagine having to tell your mom that. Like, stuck cock up my ass. She's like, I knew you were bottom. No, mom, it's material. Okay, I don't even know what this is.
I don't like that gasp.
I think it's an eggplant.
Oh, no.
It is.
There's
seeds. It is a vegetable of some sort.
Yeah, it says a vegetable. I never heard of it. An aubergine. Oh gosh, this next person put deodorant spray up their butt, like Axe body spray.
Maybe it's making their smell good?
Bro.
The 23-year-old may have been trying to get rid of a bad smell after they inserted.
Was his name Trenton McCloy?
Yeah. Oh, Trenton McKinley?
Yes, McKinley.
And the very last one is a fucking cell phone.
Buzz, buzz, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
That's really gross.
You
want
to make number 12. What could we find?
What if you put some flour and yeast up your butt? Would it create a loaf of bread? Or at least some sourdough starter?
Or a regular egg, whatever.
One way to find out.